It's The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. I'm Bill Radke. This month marks the 75th anniversary of an executive order signed by President Franklin Roosevelt. The order moved 120,000 Japanese Americans from their homes into incarceration camps. The executive order lasted until the end of World War II, and for the most part, the Japanese detainees cooperated. But some of them resisted, including a group of young men at the Heart Mountain internment camp in Wyoming. Seattle-based film director Frank Abe made a documentary about that group of resistors. It's called Conscience and the Constitution. Abe told me who those young men were and how he is connected to them.
Well, these are 63 young men who refused induction into the armed forces of the United States until their rights were first restored and their parents were released from an American concentration camp. This was the last hitch upon which they could hang a test case against the U.S. government. This resistance was, you know, they were labeled draft dodgers or draft delinquents at the time. But young men who were perfectly willing to fight in World War II, along with their other Nisei brothers. But their principles called for them to resist the draft as a belated protest against the wartime eviction of all Japanese Americans from the West Coast, including Seattle. So, you know, as you know, 7,000 Japanese Americans from Seattle, 10,000 from Washington State, evicted from their homes here in Seattle and Washington State and the West Coast, solely on the basis of race, because they looked like the Japanese enemy that had attacked Pearl Harbor.
You know, when I think of the Japanese American incarceration, I don't picture resistance for some reason.
And neither did my community. I grew up, my generation grew up, believing that our only response to this wartime injustice, this massive violation of civil rights, was twofold. It contained in two phrases. One was shikategenai, which is Japanese for it can't be helped, passive resignation in the face of injustice. The second was go for broke, patriotic self-sacrifice, spilling one's blood for America to prove your loyalty to the U.S. And that never rang true to me as a young person growing up in the 60s. And we'd go to our parents and say, Mom, Dad, why didn't you resist? And they'd pat us on the head and say, well, you're too young. You weren't born yet. You can't apply your Berkeley civil rights activism to the 1940s. You can't judge us. And then when I discovered the existence of these draft resistors inside an American concentration camp, that was to me the missing link. It was proof that the Constitution did exist in the 1940s, and that we weren't, you know, a young generation imagining principled civil disobedience in the face of this massive injustice.
Didn't you find out that even your father somewhat resisted at the time?
That was a big surprise to me. My father was an eighth grade, you know, a really relatively uneducated, he's a Japanese gardener in San Jose, California. And in camp, he wanted to be a cook, and he's peeling potatoes. Some guys came by and says, hey, George, you want to donate $2 to the Fair Play Committee? And he said, sure.
The yeah. Fair Play Committee was the...
It was the umbrella for the draft resistance in camp. In all, 63 young men refused induction, refused to board a bus for the draft physical as a means of protesting their incarceration. They were tried and convicted by a judge, federal judge. Then later, the seven leaders of the Fair Play Committee were tried for conspiracy to counsel draft evasion, and they were also convicted and sentenced, along with a journalist, James Omura from Bainbridge Island, who was acquitted on the basis of the First Amendment.
So your dad donated a couple of bucks? That was his resistance?
$2 was a lot of money in those days.
Mm. What did you think of that?
I was pleased that I had something in my history to support my activism. You know, one never knows how these things condition you. I mean, my father never talked about camp at all, like all Japanese American fathers. But it was.
Is that especially a Japanese American thing to not tell a story like that?
Hard to say. I mean, there's nothing cultural about feeling ashamed about going to prison. And the sense among all Japanese Americans was, they must have done something wrong to be kicked out of your homes and imprisoned for an average of 4 years. Now we know that it was the government that was wrong in applying race as the sole basis for this mass eviction and recognizing, decades later, the unconstitutionality of this action.
Did these resistors have much of an effect? I mean, just the Heart Mountain, for example, there were thousands of people there.
10,000.
So what impact could a small group of resistors have?
Only in looking back in the rearview mirror do we see the value of protest and resistance. At the time, they were marginalized by the Japanese American Citizens League, which actively suppressed the resistance. JACL was a hyper-patriotic organization inside the community before the war and during the camps, advocating for collaboration, cooperation with incarceration and assimilation after the war in hopes of, avoiding a repeat of this kind of segregation and exclusion. JACL, in my view, sold out Japanese America at the most critical moment in 1942 when the government began making noises about evicting Japanese aliens, my grandparents' generation, people who were ineligible for citizenship to begin with because of racial exclusion laws.
The Issei,
exactly. The JACL informed, after Pearl Harbor, the JACL, in order to demonstrate the loyalty of Japanese Americans, chose to demonstrate their loyalty by informing on the Issei leaders of the community, giving the names to the FBI, leading to the removal of the Japanese American leadership here in Seattle and West Coast cities, and the elevation of the JACL, the Nisei, to the position of, quasi-authority of the, they became the de facto spokesman for the community.
Nisei being the second generation.
I'm Sansei, third generation. Mine is not a popular view even today within the Japanese American community, but the record is clear.
How are you thinking about the Japanese American incarceration and resistance today, Frank?
It is both appalling and pleasing that my film, Conscience and the Constitution, and the idea of resistance is once again in the air. I mean, the resistance is now a thing, right? And I'm pleased that people are, picking up on the film again, but I'm aghast that it's come to this. The Japanese American draft resistors acted, 2 years after the initial eviction. They, as I said, the JACL undercut any chance for resistance at the time of eviction in April 1942 from Seattle and the West Coast. The JACL, Mike Masaoka, openly waived the civil rights of all Japanese Americans by saying, it's wrong for us to contest the legality of this. Let's go into the camps voluntarily. Let's cooperate with the government as a means of avoiding bloodshed in the streets. We don't want tanks in the streets. And as a means of securing good treatment for our people inside these camps, these concentration camps. My hope is that I'm pleased that now resistance is not waiting 2 years until we see the exclusion of the Muslim American community or the marginalization of all immigrant communities.
Well, how can that resistance happen now?
Well, it's happening now. It's happening. We've seen the Women's March, and of course we've seen the march, the blockades at the airports this last weekend. So it's clear that resistance again is a meme. It's a thing. And people are standing up now. One of my favorite signs, Bill, at the airport protest was, they came for the Muslims, and we said, not this time. And so we've learned, most people have learned from our history in 1942 with Japanese Americans. And looking back at the German playbook, the Nazi playbook from 1933, and seeing the signs of an authoritarian regime happening today, I noticed that Reuters news agency, the wire service, is already issuing guidelines to its reporters that here's the ways that you must regard the current administration in the White House much like you would an authoritarian regime in South America. And here's what we do in South America against authoritarian regimes. So obviously people are awake and aware of what's happening. And I just don't know how it's going to play out.
Do you find that your fellow Japanese Americans are especially, have learned the same lessons you have?
Well, it's that's been the whole purpose, Bill, of telling the story of the Japanese American incarceration, was to establish the history of what happened, to make sure it is documented. And the history and experience of exclusion gives Japanese America a kind of moral authority to speak on this issue and to speak out now on behalf of Muslim Americans and Mexican immigrants and undocumented residents. It also brings a moral responsibility to speak out now at this time when this history is shockingly being repeated.
Frank Abe is the writer, producer, director of the documentary Conscience and the Constitution. It's about Japanese Americans who resisted being drafted into the U.S. military during their incarceration of World War II. He also publishes a blog at resisters.com. That's R-E-S-I-S-T-E-R-S.